You know, and along those lines, I just want to share this. I was praying today, and I happened to think about this, and then it just came back to me while you were talking there. And you know, whenever you heard Sunday morning that healing belongs to us, and healing does belong to us, and there are different ways to minister to the sick, and there's different ways yourself to receive healing. But one of the things that, if you've been around here while you've heard us teach, is that when we lay hands on people, we're not praying and asking God to heal people. We are actually administering God's healing power. Because Jesus said in John 14:10, he said the works that he did, it wasn't actually him who was doing them. The Father that lives in him was doing the works. And he was just releasing what was in him, the power of God who is in him and on him, releasing that. And we're just exercising really our authority. And just a lot of times you don't even necessarily even have to pray in the sense that prayer is talking to God. You're just commanding a body to be well or whole or something like that. Well, in light of that, it's okay then to minister several times to someone. And you've seen us do that. And many of us have done that. If you are just commanding something, you can command it several times. You know, you can, and it's not a lack of faith. Now, if you keep asking God for the same thing over and over that he's already promised you he would do, that's just rude. To keep asking God for the same thing over and over that he's already said in his word he's taking care of, then it's rude to continue to ask him for it. You should just be thanking him for it. But you can command something again and again. Well, and just in light of that, when Candy was saying that, talking about our eyes, I was just thinking about just in our own lives, that there is nothing wrong with if you're dealing with something just like you can do with your eyes. If there's something that's going on in your body and it hadn't left like it should, of course, pray, you know, thank God that his word is true and healing is yours and that has no right to be there. But I tell you, there's nothing wrong with just putting your hand on it and just ministering God's healing power to yourself. And I was thinking about it today. It just came to me about that. But I was thinking about it with kids, you know, when your kids are sick. And, I mean, is there anything worse than your kid being sick? I mean, I don't think there's anything worse than your kid being sick. And so I was just thinking about putting your hand on your kids. And if there's something going on in your child or anybody, but I was thinking about it in particular in terms of your children or like you with the army, it's something that's a continued ongoing thing. Every day, put your hand on that child and just minister God's healing power. And I tell you, God's healing power is tangible at times. You can feel it. And there is just absolutely nothing wrong with just, in the name of Jesus, I just administer God's healing power. It's correcting you, healing you, and whatever's in there driving it out. I mean, it's a good dose. God's healing power is real. It's good to just keep administering that. So that's the word I had here. It's just keep administering it. Don't just do it once and just, well, that really didn't work, or even, well, I did it. I mean, just keep, because we're administering real power. And sometimes you just have to keep getting, you know, a treatment. Just keep the power on. And I tell you, I just saw that as we could just, do y'all understand what I'm saying? So I can quit talking about that and go on to something else. Okay. Praise God. All right. Well, if you have any more testimonies, you have to tell me later because we're going to move along here. Tonight, I want to just read a couple of scriptures to you. One is in John chapter 14. I quoted a scripture from there a moment ago, but this is further down in John chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, and whatever you ask, this is Jesus talking. Jesus really at what we call the Last Supper. He's given them some final instructions. And he said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Y'all, isn't that an awesome statement that Jesus said that? He said to people, to humans, to people like you and me, he said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That's awesome. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Woo! Isn't that awesome? Do y'all see what authority we have in prayer? What authority we have in Christ? Now, of course, all the scripture is interpreted in light of other scripture. So that word anything, while it does mean anything, let's apply 1 John chapter 5 to it. 1 John chapter 5. These are a couple of verses that are familiar in some ways to us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and now he really gives us the clarification, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So in light of this, when Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I don't think that he meant if I ask, you know, Father in Jesus' name, let Larry's nose fall off his face. then what did you say? I rebuke you? I don't think that that scripture would apply. Now, if it was to do him good in some way, maybe if he had two noses and Father let one of them wither away, maybe that would be. But you know what I'm saying. It's not about just any old thing. It's really in line with his word and with his will. Because if we ask anything according to his will, and we know how we know if something's God's will, we know it lines up with his word. And then if you want to get specifically into God's will, his spirit reveals his will to us. So we know if we ask according to something that's in line with, in agreement with his word, or something that's specifically outlined in his word, like healing, like Pastor taught us on Sunday, but also anything that the Holy Spirit leads us in, that he speaks to us about, that's in line with the word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask that's in line with his will, according to the will, according to the word, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So we ask him, and you know that we ask him, and if he's said he'll do it, he does it, and we thank him for it. Amen? Now, so that's this, I bring this up because this is just some real simple teaching about prayer, but I tell you, it never ceases to amaze me how profound that this is and how many Christians don't understand that the Bible actually teaches us how to pray. It doesn't just tell us to pray. And as I've said many times, most people learn to pray by listening to grandma or their preacher or in Sunday school or, God forbid, Christian television or something. They learn some way to pray. You know, just really, most people have learned to pray by listening to other people pray. And they think, well, that's the way to pray. But what I have found, and let me say, there's, you know, come on, we have all learned to pray that way. And there's probably nothing wrong with that, except if the person we're learning from doesn't actually know how to pray according to the Bible, then we're in trouble. So that's why it's really good that we look in the Bible and see what the Bible says. That's why I bring this up. We need to know what the will of God is, but once we know, whatever that we ask, anything in his name. And that, again, the name of Jesus is not like open sesame or abracadabra. It's not like a magic word. It means in his authority. If we ask anything in his authority, that's really based in the fact that he gave his life for us, that he bought and purchased our redemption, and it's all standing in the finished work of the cross. Because of that, and in the authority that we have in Christ, in his name, as his representatives here in the earth, and we stand in that, God will answer our prayers just the same as if Jesus himself were asking the prayer. Because we're asking in agreement with his will, according to his word, and we're asking under his authority as his children, as his rightful heirs. Look at there. We get it. Isn't that good tonight? So let that encourage you. Let that encourage you. Now, here's something else I want to talk to you a moment about prayer, and it's over in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, this is another little snippet about prayer I wanted to share with you. Matthew chapter 9, you know, one thing I've noticed about prayer is it's real easy. Maybe not for you, but I've noticed with me and with lots of people, it's real easy to get selfish with your praying. Anybody ever notice that? Have you ever noticed your most fervent prayers are when you're praying for yourself or somebody that you love real dearly? Then you get fervent. And, you know, the other times, you know, well, God bless them. God bless you there, Rachel. Yeah, that's it. Well, that's really not scriptural, and that's kind of selfish, and the Bible's really pretty much plain that it shouldn't be selfish. So anyway, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and it's Jesus here, and it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes..." So he's out, he's, you know, working the circuit. He's going to village after village, city after city, and he's preaching the gospel wherever he goes. And there's a lot of sick people, a lot of hurting people, a lot of dying people. I mean, have you ever thought about it? I mean, you and me, we don't have any idea. Just watching that Bible series, you know, just a little bit, it reminded me of how messy things were back then. But just think what you and me have. I mean, we have toothbrushes. Think about it. You and me, we have not only combs and brushes, we have flat irons and curling irons, and we have perms. We have shampoo. that you can buy for, you know, $1.50 in the grocery store. Come on. Maybe two for $1.50, maybe, or I don't know, does the Dyer store, do they have shampoo? Probably. I'm just telling you, you and me got it. We got it good. Think about, and for most of humanity, if something happened to you, you were stuck. Think about your teeth. What if you got a cavity? Now, I'm not going to ask everybody to raise their hand, but who in here has ever had a cavity? Well, yeah, more than two. But, you know, what did they do? I mean, I don't know what they did. Eventually the tooth would fall out or it'd rot or they'd pull it out. You know, think about it. And braces, did they have braces? What I'm just saying here is we, just even cosmetic things, we've come along. I mean, we have deodorant, thank God. We have a lot of stuff that they didn't have. Now, think about this multitude. You think we have aspirin. You just think of all the things that we have that these people didn't have. So when you were sick back then, imagine you get a group of people here together. And you have some sick people. Imagine in his day how many sick people you had. I mean, bad sick. Because they didn't, you know, tuck them away in the hospital and put them in ICU or whatever, you know. And they were at home. I mean, people used to have babies at home. They'd die at home. They'd have the funeral at home. It was just all, you were on your own. And that's how it was being sick. You were just stuck. And so you can imagine how much sickness and disease there was that Jesus saw. But when he saw the multitudes, he responded with compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And, you know, this is that one of those points where if you're not careful, you'll never get around to praying this. If you're not, you know, diligent, you won't get around to praying this because you're too busy praying for you. And he said here that we are to pray for the Lord of the harvest. In his day, he saw a great multitude of people who were sick. Now, in that day, sure, people were sick physically and it was a manifestation. In our day, people are sick. But I tell you where the real sickness is that I see is they are sick in their souls and they are sick in their minds. And I see people perishing for lack of knowledge because they don't know the ways of God and the goodness of God and the love of God. And they need a laborer to come across their pathway. And the scripture says we are to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send somebody across their pathway. We're to pray for laborers. And Matt talks to me all the time about the laborers and how we need to pray for the laborers. It's a real strong thing in him. He talks all the time about laborers. We pray for the laborers all the time because, as he says, we don't have a sinner problem and we don't have a sick people problem. We got plenty of sinners and we got plenty of sick people and we got plenty of lost and dying and hurting people. What we don't have enough of are laborers. And so we need to pray for the laborers. That's what Jesus said. Pray for the laborers. When he saw the sick, hurting people, he said, we need to pray for the laborers. And so I'm just tonight and wanting to admonish you that in your prayer life, you should be praying for laborers. That was really strong. Amen. Thank God for who? Amen. But a lot of us should have been amen. And amen, we should pray for laborers. And I have to say, you are one of those laborers that you're praying for. You are a laborer. Well, I'm not really a laborer. Oh, no, you are a laborer. And I'm praying for you to recognize your ministry of being a laborer. All right, now one more scripture I want to read. Luke 22. Y'all still have Luke in your Bible? Luke 22, verse 39. I saw something here when I was reading. It just struck me, so I had to share it with you. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. It's Jesus. This is really telling his last hours before he went to Calvary. He's in the garden and he's praying because he knows what's ahead, awaits him ahead. In verse 39, it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, so this is Jesus and a very famous verse where Jesus prayed and he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. And as we know, he was praying. It wasn't a physical cup he was talking about. He was talking about what I'm called to do, what you have for me, your plan. He knew God's plan was for him to give his life for the sins of the world. And he's really wrestling with that whole thing. And he's saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. And then he said those words, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And those words right here are such critical words for you and me to pray. Not my will, but your will be done. Because in that moment, he aligned his will with the will of God. And you and me, and in prayer, that's one of the things that we should continually be doing, is aligning our will with his will. Because I have to tell you, our will has a funny way of getting out of line with his will. Or is mine the only one that does that? Or am I the only person that finds myself just wanting to go my own way? You know, we have these dogs, and I take my dogs out for a walk every day. And this one of my two dogs, it can just march along just so pleasantly, and the other one pulls me wherever this dog wants to go. And I think about this sometimes. I wish this dog would get a revelation of not my will, but your will be done. Because this dog is so bound and determined to do its will. And I think that a lot of us are like that when it comes to the will of God, and we don't even recognize it. We're just trying to pull our own way. When it's much better, and we spent several weeks talking about that, it's much better to go God's way than to go our way. That's what Melissa found out last week when she was wrestling. God was dealing with her to go give somebody some money. And it wasn't just about the money. It was about the embarrassment or the awkwardness of giving money to somebody in that situation. It wasn't somebody in the church and somebody she felt real comfortable doing that with. And so when you're having to step outside of your comfort zone to give somebody money, I mean, just, Lord, let me give it to Carol because, you know, at least she'll. Yeah. Exactly. And she'll be happy to get it. And it's just a couple of rows here and it's church and we're used to that kind of thing. It's really awkward when you go into a place that's not church. It's not somebody you go to church with. Have you ever tried to give somebody money like that? I remember the Lord dealt with me to give somebody I went to high school with. Now this is like 5 years after I graduated from high school, and the Lord told me to find this person and give them money. It was one of the most awkward moments of my life. I know how you feel. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And I go and find them, and I try to give them money, and it's the most stubborn person I've ever met about receiving. I don't know if she thought that I was looking down on her, or it was taking pity, or what it was. It was a very difficult situation. I'm trying to force this person to take my money. Finally, Matt gets out of the car and comes over, and we both force it on her. It was terrible. And you really want to go, well, I didn't really want to give it to you anyway. See, God, they wouldn't take it. It was like Abraham and Isaac. I get credit. I did my part. But anyway, I don't know what they had to do. Okay, but anyway, that related here some way. But anyway, the reality is this is something that all of us should be praying, because our will has a way of getting out of his will, but keeping it back into his will, you know, keeping our will aligned with his will. Not my will, but your will be done. It's not my will I'm living for, it's your will. And I want to bring my will into alignment with your will. That's what he's saying here. But this is what I just saw that excited me is verse 43. He prayed this in verse 42. And then what does it say in verse 43? Then, when? Right after he prayed, basically, not my will, but your will be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. I love that. As soon as he said, no, I'm not going my way. I'm not pulling it over here. I may want to go over there, but I'm pulling back over here. Not my will, but your will be done. I'm in submission to you. Jesus is my Lord. And as soon as he had done that, what happened? An angel came from heaven and strengthened him. Isn't that good? Did y'all think that was just an exception that was only for Jesus and was never available to you? No. Paul prayed again and again that we'd be strengthened with his mighty power in our inner man. He prayed all the time in several different examples of his prayers. He talks about us being strengthened. It's important. It's critical for us as believers to be strengthened. But I see when the strength came. When did the strength come? When he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. And in that moment, when he prayed that, he He submitted himself to the will of God, and strength came. Because at that moment, he probably didn't want to do. Well, he didn't. He said, look, if there's any way to get out of this, let's take it. But nevertheless, it's not about what I want to do. Your will be done. And in that moment, an angel came and strengthened him. And I don't know about you, but I would love to be strengthened by God. It's wonderful to be. Have any of y'all ever been strengthened by God? It is awesome to be strengthened by God. It's so much better than just trying to, you know, make it on my own, than just trying to crawl through it myself. When God strengthens you, oh, it's just, it lifts you up and it gives you joy. And suddenly it's not so hard and things get, I don't know, they start working and you can sleep and you can let other people sleep and, you know, you have some hair left that you didn't actually pull out. You know, it's really good when you get strengthened by God, isn't it? But when did that come? When he submitted himself to God and said, not my will, but your will be done. So I just wanted to bring that to you tonight. How many of us need to pray that right there? Yeah, we need to pray that right there. Not my will, but your will be done. And when we pray it, what can we expect? We can expect him to strengthen us. Now let's just take a moment and reflect. Maybe in your life, is there anything you've kind of been resisting? Is there anything you've been struggling with? I mean, I can't imagine that you haven't struggled with the will of God in some way in the last week. Forgive. You know, even if it's as simple as forgive or overlook something. You know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins, meaning it doesn't mean that you don't have sins. It just means that the love that God's put in my heart towards you will just cover that over. So I don't have to make a whole lot of big deal about all your sins. It'll make it a lot easier for us to live together. Isn't that true? So I need to be strong, because I have noticed for me, when I'm weak, I get a lot more nitpicky and I'm just irritable. Am I the only one like that? I can get irritable. And, you know, one time, Matt's not here, so I can tell you. No, this is about me. I'm not going to tell on him when he's not here. I'll wait till he's here and I'll tell on him. But anyway, he told me one time, I just really appreciate that Matt can just talk straight to me. I need that. Are any of the rest of y'all like that? I need him to just really talk straight to me. And this is what he told me one time. He said, you can never, ever say to me again that something irritates you. Never again. You have completely depleted that. You have used up the entire reservoir of the allowance for you to ever say that irritates me. Never again can you say that to me. And I'm like, well, that's very irritating. But I realized what he was telling me is that I just said that way too much. And you do have what you say. But I was just telling him all the time about everything that he did that was really irritating me, and not just him, but his family and his kids and everything about his church, everything. It was all irritating me. And he told me, that's it. You are never saying that to me again. And you know what? I didn't. And every now and then I just test him a little bit. I'll just sort of go near there, like I'm going to say that. And he just gives me the look. I'm like, okay, I ain't saying that anymore. But when you are depleted and you're weak, that's when things for you, they just don't go well. And it's never been God's plan for you to be depleted and weak. And you need to be filled with his word, and you need to be filled with his spirit. But part of what strengthens us is submitting our will to his will. Because my dog just wears itself out. That dog will come in and fall on the water bowl and put its whole face down in the water bowl. It's just, because the whole time we're out, the whole time, the dog is just trying to pull its own way instead of just following merrily along where I'm taking it. It's just striving. And I see that we're just pulling against what God has for us, and just wears himself out. And there he is, just whole head in the bowl. And that's how we are when we don't submit our will to his will. But when we do, it strengthens us. Say that, saying, not my will, but your will be done. Now that's something that should be on your lips from your heart, not just because I'm talking about it, but that should be part of your position in prayer and part of your your regularly talking to God kind of talk. It's not about what I want. I'm, you know, meeting up my will. I'm submitting my will. I'm making my will come second to your will. And then just changing my will. I will to do your will. And that's another thing Jesus said, that I've come to do the will of my Father. And so, you know, I'm looking here at some young people. The best thing you can do is submit your will to His will. That's it. That is the best thing you can do. And I'm going to tell you, not just for y'all, but for us too. It's the best thing you can do, is submit your will to His will. And think about it all the time. What is your will? What is your will for me? Ask Him, what is your will? A friend of mine, David Ingalls, and I say a friend of mine, he's a much older man. He's just, I think today is his 80th birthday, in fact. But anyway, David was telling me a story not long ago. He said that he was in the grocery store. No, he was in some kind of a convenience store. He lives in Tulsa, and he was in the convenience store, and he was walking through the convenience store, and he was just doing what he always does. And he said he kind of rounded a corner, and there was a young guy standing there, and the guy looked at him. And the guy said to him, "What? What did he say?" That's what the guy said to David. "What? What did he say?" And David looked at the guy. He said, "What did who say?" And the guy said to him, I guess the guy recognized him. And the guy said, "God, what did God just say to you?" And David said, "What did God say to me?" And the young man said to him, "Well, I just heard you say, 'Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll do that.'" And he said, "What did he tell you to do?" And David said, he reared back his head and he just laughed. And he said, "Son, I'm just practicing for when he does speak to me." He said, "I'm just practicing." He said, "'Cause, you know, I just want to be ready." And he told me, he said, "So I just regularly practice whether he's saying anything or not. I'm always saying, 'Yes, Lord, I'll do that.' So I'll be ready when he does speak. I'll be already prepared. 'Yes, Lord, I'll do that.'" Well, that kid heard it. He's like, "What did he say? What did he say?" He's like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was just practicing." Yeah. I just thought it was hilarious. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? That might be how you live to be 80. Maybe that's a good, you know, a good thing. "Not my will, but your will be done." "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." Let's say that. "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." Maybe we should practice that. Let's say it again. "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." Yeah, you need to get used to saying it, because it's not always so easy to say. Whoo, is it, Melissa? And a whole bunch of the rest of you, when the Lord speaks to you, you want to be ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." What is it? We need to be quick to obey. Quick and cheerful about doing it. But that, I mean, that's the key. He said, I mean, the scripture says that when he prayed that and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done," then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Isn't that good? Strengthening him, bringing strength to him, giving him what he needed on the inside to make it out here. Because that's where you fall, is not out here, it's on the inside. Where you falter is when you're weak in here. It's not just, and it, you know what? And people think circumstances are what make you fall. People think circumstances are what really dictates what happens to you. But really, circumstances have very little to do with it. It's what's going on in here and how strong you are in here that determines whether you make it or not, whether you overcome or not. Your faltering is in here. It's not in the circumstances. It's not, failure is not out here. Failure is not in what's going on. Failure, it's in here. But overcoming's in here too. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in us. The greater one puts us over. He strengthens us with his mighty power in our inner man. And when we submit ourselves to him, he even sends angels to strengthen us. Woo! Isn't that good? Praise God. Well, let's take a few minutes and pray. How about that? We've got about 10 minutes here left, something like that. And I think you need some prayer. Couple of areas. I want us to pray for laborers. So if you don't know anything else to pray for laborers, but I tell you where we're going to start. We're going to start with you, and I'm just going to invite you to do this because I can't make you do it. I'm just going to invite you to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." And whatever it is you've been, you know, stubborn about, let's just get past it. Come on. What is it that you are just holding out for your way so strongly about? What in the world are you thinking? Quit being stubborn and just say, not my will. I don't have to have my way. Your way, your will be done. And when you do that, there'll be something happen in your life like Jesus that you've been wanting to happen, that you have been needing to happen. Your will be done. That's good. And then we're going to pray for laborers. Let's do that. Hallelujah. You got some music you can play? Jeremy? We'll pray and I'll just start us off and then we'll pray. Father, we just tonight, we pray like Jesus prayed. And I thank you that we have some instruction from the Word. Not our will, but your will be done. Not my will. Father, I'm not self-seeking because love is not self-seeking and I'm called to walk in love. And I don't seek my way. I don't have to have my way, especially when it comes to what you're leading me to do. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. And we'll do it quickly. We'll do it cheerfully. Your will be done. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father, in these next few minutes that you deal with us across this congregation, Father, that you deal with us about whatever things that we've been resisting. We may not even be aware that we're doing it, but your Holy Spirit who lives within us, you can show us in a moment where we need to adjust, where we need to say, hey, no, not that, not my will, your will be done. I pray for us all in that. And then, Father, I lift up the laborers to you tonight. And I pray that you'd send forth laborers out into the harvest. And I pray for the laborers to be strengthened. Father, I pray for these laborers that are here tonight. I pray for all of us and all the laborers that are make up Good News Church. We're just a body of laborers. And I pray, Father, that we would be strengthened, that we would be emboldened, that we would be empowered, that we would take our place as laborers, that we would speak with clarity, that we would speak, Father, with no hindrance. We would speak as we ought to speak.